Well, good morning again, everyone. Not sure I greeted you, but good morning. I was thinking about probably the hardest week of my year is that second week of camp that I've been doing. And so this last week, I would say, was probably the hardest week for me, just as far as everything that goes on and everything that goes into it. And I'm probably as drained as I am all year. I think after the first week of camp with the high schoolers, staying up sometimes till 3 in the morning, you know, sick kids coming in and things to figure out, and then having a week to kind of get back and realizing that I've been brain damaged a little bit from that, and then having to organize, you know, a staff of 40-some people and have, you know, 73 campers and you know, so it's 100 and some people, and all the questions, you know, kind of they, most all of them, like, they get a lot of questions get answered, but if there's a question that can't be answered, it always comes to me, so there's like a lot to think about, so I'm probably at my most drained right now, my weakest, you know, that I've been. So I guess that's a good thing, right? Because I was telling our staff, you know, like it says in the scripture, like Paul says, you know, in our weakness, he is strong, you know. So that's what we want to do and where we want to be. So this is our time to open the Word of God together. And just to share with you what we do here is we preach from the Word of God. And we want to know what the Word of God says to us. And so we primarily just go through books of the Bible. I've been going through the book of James. We're on chapter 3 now, so we're starting to make some progress into the book of James. And I would just invite you, if you don't have your Bibles already open, to turn to James chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 12, and that'll be what the sermon will be from today. James writes, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by very small rudders, by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is a set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives or grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity to open it and to read from it, and Lord, to go through it verse by verse, Lord, and learn from it and apply it to our lives. And we pray that your spirit would do that. Lord, if there's things, and I'm sure that there are in here, that we need to be convicted by, I pray that your spirit would do that to us, Lord, and correct us and show us and continue to shape us and continue to make us into what you want us to be. Thank you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So going back to that in the beginning, it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." So first thing is, if we just really look at, you know, what it's saying, if we take it very literally, it should say that, it says something along the lines of, you shouldn't collect a lot of teachers. There shouldn't be a big group of teachers. You shouldn't have a whole bunch of people that want to be teachers. Because if you're teachers, you got to know that you're judged more strictly. In some way, that's what it's saying, but I think to kind of get the gist, you know, of what it's saying here, we do have teachers. We do need teachers. We should want teachers. We should have people that want to become teachers. In fact, we have in the Bible, it tells us that people are called to be teachers and people have the gift of teaching. Amen? So teachers are not a negative thing. Teachers are a good thing. We have to understand this in light of the whole Bible as we look at it. So thinking of some verses, collected some verses that would speak to this. If we think in Romans 12, 7 through 8, talking about the spiritual gifts, it says, if it's service, you know, he's talking about exercising your, if it's service in our serving, you know, use your gift. The one who teaches in his teaching. So if your spiritual gift is teaching, and we believe that every believer is gifted spiritually when they receive the Holy Spirit, when they receive Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells them, and they are gifted, they have a gifting, and they're to use that gift. So whatever gift you have, use it. If your gift is teaching, you should want to teach. You should set out to teach. And so it goes on and says, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, we're not all teachers, though, are we? And so this must be addressing people that want to be teachers that aren't called by God to be teachers or aren't ready to be teachers. Okay, another passage where we see this is in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. It says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. So God has appointed people with different spiritual gifts to serve in the church, and the purpose is to build up the body. And among that is the gift of teaching, and therefore you have teachers. It says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, similarly, it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of fullness of Christ. Now listen to this. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So we have teachers to help grow us and to mature us and to help us to not be carried away with false doctrine. Now, so teachers are good. If God calls you to be a teacher, you should want to be a teacher. Now it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who are teachers will be judged with greater strictness. If you are going to be a teacher, and if you are a teacher, and I think we might be wanting to ask the question, well, at what level does that apply to I'm a teacher? If I work in the nursery, am I a teacher? If I'm working in the Sunday school, am I a teacher? You know, where do we have that? How far does that go? And I would say, you know, hey, make it as convicting as it possibly could be. All right? So I really think that you may not be leading an adult group or something, but if you're setting out to teach, you're setting out to teach the Word of God, that you need to know that as you teach, you become more accountable for what you teach. Amen? And the fact is, all of us should be lifelong students of the Word of God, trying to grow in the Word of God, and setting out to teach somebody, to share the Word of God. We should set out to do that, and we should know that there are times when we don't understand and we don't know and we do things out of ignorance, but the more we get into the Word of God, the more we study it, the more we are accountable for it. Now, we shouldn't have the opposite attitude, which is, you know, well, then I'm not going to read it or study it because I don't want to be accountable for it. Guess what? You're here today. You're accountable to know. You're called to read and study the Word of God and to be a student of the Word of God and for the Bible to be the authority for your life. And when Eric, that question that you asked there, very similar to how we say, you know, the Bible is the authority for all we do. There is no other authority. It's the Bible that's the authority for all we do. So there are going to be teachers. There are going to be people called to be teachers and gifted as teachers. But you have to know, as a teacher, that it says here that you're going to be judged more strictly. Now, why is that? Because as a teacher, you should study more closely and you're more accountable. And that kind of goes along with other things that we see in Scripture here. Okay. Now, there was a time when Jesus was speaking and he was speaking in parables, and he was talking about servants, you know, who weren't righteous and they weren't doing what the master said. They were taking advantage of their master's trust, you know, and the disciples ask, you know, who are you telling this about? Does this apply to us? You know, and Jesus replied and he told them this he continued to tell him this parable. He described this parable like another parable that he was saying, yeah, this applies to you. But as part of that, this is in Luke 12, 47 through 48, when he talks about the servants. He said, "And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a lighter beating." Now this is what he said. "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." So, you know, as I think about that, he's saying, you know, a certain person is this servant. If he didn't know and he acted out of ignorance, God understands that. But the one who knows, he knows the right thing to do. He knows what he's supposed to be doing. He's the one that gets the severe beating of the servants. And then the kind of the bigger, in context, you know, kind of the bigger principle there is when God gives you a lot, he expects a lot of you. So if God gives you time in the Word and he gives you time to study the Word and he grows you in the Scripture and you learn more and more doctrine and you learn more and more about God, God then expects you to apply that to your life and to live that, and because you're no longer ignorant. And so if you're a teacher, a person who's going to teach the Word of God, that person needs to live the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Now this is hard for me, right? I'm not off the hook. I'm the one up here standing doing most of the teaching each week. I'm saying teach. So I got to look at this. First, I have to read this for myself and say, you know what? I need to remember this. As I teach the Word of God, I need to live what the Word of God says, and I need to be accountable to the Word of God. I need to be growing every day, and I need to be repenting from sins all the time. Anytime God convicts me and shows me sin, I need to be ready to confess that to Him and to repent of that sin. But I also need to know the part of that is God expects more from me as a teacher, and He is going to judge me more strictly. Amen? Now, don't anyone shy away from being a teacher because of that, but rather say, you know what? That's accountability. And accountability is good. And God's discipline in my life is good, so desire that. Now, there must have been something particular to the teachers and the way that they talked and the things that they said. Because he starts with this, and then it goes to be very much about speech and about the tongue and how you use your tongue and the words you say. Let me read. I'm going to start from one again, read through that. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." All right, so it shifts to the tongue. It shifts to what you say. So in this case, you know, when we think about, hey, God having greater strictness, think of it as a teacher of the Word of God. We have to really watch not only what we teach, but the words and things that come out of our mouths and what we say. And basically, it kind of sums up a lot of this. He says, you know what? If you can keep your tongue in check, and you can keep the things you say in check, and you can be obedient with your mouth, then you can be obedient with your whole body. It's that much of a challenge. Now, how many of you sometimes get in trouble for the things that you say?
Never.
Aren't you married? You know, sometimes you don't even mean it. You know, I didn't mean it that way. You ever said something inappropriate? Repeated a joke that maybe you shouldn't have repeated? Talked in a way you shouldn't have talked, you know, used your tongue inappropriately, or been really harsh with somebody and talked somebody down in a way you shouldn't have, been maybe verbally abusive towards somebody. And you think about all the damage we could do with our tongues, but all the ways that we sin with our mouths, right? And so, but he's saying, if you can keep that in check, if you can keep that in check, then you're fully obedient. But the fact is, none of us can keep that in check. But it just shows who we are, who we are. Now, some verses on that. Matthew 12, 34 through 37. Now, I put the second half of this as the verse in the bulletin. You'll see that on the bottom. Because I didn't want to just lead in with the first half and confuse you guys. But it says, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil?" It says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So Jesus, in his response, you know, to the Pharisees who were, you know, out to attack him and always testing him. But what he says is that the abundance of your heart, what's in your heart, what's overflowing in your heart comes out of your mouth. Now, can I get a little bit, kind of just a little bit gross here? Is that okay? I have had some septic issues at my house. Now, they haven't been major ones that are overflowing into the house or something like that, but our pump stopped working, and now they're telling me that our drain field has some issues, and so I'm having a guy come work on that tomorrow. And meanwhile, our bank account's getting lighter and lighter and lighter as we go, you know. But I got a different guy coming in this time. I think praying he does a really good job. But this just kind of got me thinking about this a little bit, because when I was watching these guys work, and I wasn't just watching, I was smelling these guys work, you know. You know, he's showing me how these tanks work and different things. And then if you've ever had this, and you have a backup, it just kind of keeps coming up, right? It's got to go somewhere. And if you can kind of think about it like this, if in your heart, things are in your heart are not good, it's like a septic tank with the pump that's not working. And it just comes up. Where does it come up? It comes up to your mouth. And all that yucky stuff comes out. I talked about this before, and it's, one way to think about that is maybe it's potty mouth. Potty mouth comes out, you know. But it's not just foul language, you know. It's a wide range of things. If there's a condition in your heart that is not right, it overflows and it works its way up and it comes out of your mouth. It happens all the time. And that's what that verse means, you know. So what's the abundance of your heart? You want the abundance of your heart to be good things, you know, to be the fruit of the Spirit. But if the abundance of your heart is gross, if it's yuckiness, you know, if it's vileness, if it's evil, if it's sin, then it flows out of your mouth. Okay? And it's very difficult for a long time to hide that. Now, in Matthew 15, the Pharisees were really upset about Jesus' disciples not washing their hands. You know, and they're saying, hey, you break the tradition of our elders. How dare you break the tradition of our elders? And Jesus corrected them and basically teaching them that, you know, the tradition of their elders is not the word of God. Amen. And they would break the word of God for the tradition of their elders. But when he explained this, he says, and he called the people to him and he said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. So it's not what you eat that makes you dirty, but it's what comes out of your mouth that makes you dirty. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? That's another one of those funny verses, isn't it, in the Bible? Hey, Jesus, we need to inform you of something. You actually offended the Pharisees. He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Amen? Amen. So there's your real biblical explanation from Jesus about how the overflow of the heart can be sinful things, and that's what defiles a person. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. So this is the first example. He gives a couple examples here. One is how a little small bit in the mouth of a horse, pull them to the right, pull them to the left, pull them back, control the whole horse. Not just his head, but his whole body can be controlled with that small bit. And then he gives a similar example. He says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So a great ship, even an aircraft carrier or a battleship or something like that, or a big cruise ship. Gigantic ship is being driven by a small rudder. And that ship can be driven where the pilot wants it to go. And so these gives these two examples of these small things in comparison with the tongue. Our tongue is really small, but it can cause great damage. And it can actually really cause us to go in a terrible direction. Our tongue can. Now he goes into another slightly different example. He says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Every forest fire starts with a small spark, with a small flame, with a small fire, and it spreads to a big fire. So when I think about you know, things that can happen to people within a church and events that can happen, a lot of times you can compare them to a fire. When there's a really difficult situation that happens, it's like you have a fire and you're trying to deal with the fire. And sometimes you're trying to contain the fire, you're trying to put the fire out, but it keeps just going. And so with the words of our mouth, we can go, you can picture, like another picture of that would be going around where the area is like really dry and the things we say could be like we're setting fires everywhere we go. It just takes a little bit and fires spread. So how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body. So it's kind of like that horse where it's just the bit in the mouth of the horse can control the whole body. Our tongue pollutes our whole body, stains our whole body, corrupts our whole body, leads our whole body astray in some way. You can think of it that way. Now, again, it's coming out of our heart. It's the overflow of our heart, but we can see that. Okay. Staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. All right, so a couple things about that. So first of all, this idea, you know, every beast is tamed. You know, I believe it, but I think it's crazy sometimes. You ever see those people, they've got the big cats and stuff, and they even tame them to some degree. Now, that only lasts so long, right? Never trust a tiger. You know, I even say, never trust a raccoon. One time we went camping up in Packwood. I know, I just remember Pat was there. I don't remember who else was with us. If that was Ricky or Devin or somebody, we were coming back down, and these people had this little pet raccoon with them, and they were feeding it, and it was in their truck and things like that. And I was like, man, that's not going to go well at some point. Any of you see that episode of Little House on the Prairie when Laura got a raccoon? Yeah, Sarah was watching that, and I saw that too. Yeah, it reminded me of that. But it says here that every kind of beast and animal can be tamed, but no man can tame the tongue. That's what it says. And I believe that. But I also believe this as I think about it. No man can tame the tongue, but God can tame the tongue. So who is it that's going to tame your tongue? It's God that's going to tame your tongue. And it's your growth and your relationship with Him, and it's His Spirit living in you that can tame your tongue. But all this is giving us a picture of the seriousness of what we can do with the words of our mouth. Okay? No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. So, brings out a problem here. And the rest of this kind of spells out the problem. In fact, I'll go ahead and keep reading, okay? So this thing about the tongue is evil. We use the same tongue to praise God, and then we'll turn around and curse people with it. And these people have been made in the likeness of God. They're in the image of God. It says, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So he gives these examples, you know, of the fresh water and the salt water, the fig tree and the olives, and he gives all these things. So something is what it is, right? A fig tree is not an olive tree. A salt water spring or is not a freshwater spring, and a freshwater spring is not a saltwater spring. They don't mix. They're not the same thing. They produce something consistent with what they are. And but the point is, if you are a follower of Christ, the words that come out of your mouth should be consistent with the Spirit of God that lives in you. And it's a contradiction if you use your speech as a Christian sinfully. Now, we should acknowledge that we all do, and we all have. And we should all be convicted by this when we do, and we should repent of it. But we also, reading this, I hope that we can learn and understand that the words that we use and the things that we say, you know, whether it has to do with honesty or it has to do with being mean or cruel, you know, talking somebody down or being abusive in some way, or it has to do with saying things that are inappropriately, like maybe the kind of jokes that we speak and the things that we do, we have to take that really seriously, because what that can do is that can cause a lot of problems in our lives. Amen? You guys all listening to this? I hope you're all listening closely to this, and this is, we should be really, really on this, okay? And this is an area we're all growing. You know, none of us have like arrived, you know, to where we're going to be, but we need to use our words really carefully. One of the pictures that we tried to use with our kids, and maybe some of you have heard this before, is like a little illustration we got out of a book, you know, to try to teach the kids, our kids, you know, to be careful with the words that we use. We got a tube of toothpaste out, and we squirted the toothpaste all over like this piece of paper, and we gave them some toothpicks, and we said, now put that toothpaste back in the toothpaste container. And of course, they tried it for a little bit, but then they got like really mad. What are you doing? Why are you doing this to us? You know, it's like, okay, this is for a point. That is like your words. When your words are like that toothpaste, when it goes out of the tube, you can't get it back in the tube. You can't take it back. It kind of reminds me of when I worked somebody sent out a just angry email, just rah, 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 and then they retracted the email. You know how that works? It said, it gave me the email, it gave everyone the email. Everyone got the email. And then it said, this person has asked to retract this email. Do you approve? You know, something like that. You know, there was no getting it back. There was no getting it back. And that's the way that our words are. Now, I also think we should remember, today our speech and our words are a lot more than just the audible sounds that come out of our mouth. So much of what we do is online and things now. And so what we say and what we do online, how we use our speech online, we ought to be cautious about that and make sure that we're being led by the Spirit to say and do the things that we do online. Amen? Amen. Because again, we can start a lot of fires. We can cause a lot of damage. And the other thing I guess I'd really like to be clear about is when you think about this, it might be tempting to think that it's saying that you're just going to cause a lot of problems for other people, and you may, and you will. But guess who you really cause a lot of problems for if you don't watch your speech? Yourself. And so this is really good, and this is really important for yourself. And just to kind of wrap it up, kind of going back to the beginning as we think about this, you know, too much is given, much is expected, right? And as you grow as a Christian, of course, when you started off, maybe you really didn't know how to use your mouth, use your speech, you know, what to do. Yeah, that's where you were. Remember, that's like the person who's ignorant of it. But as you grow as a believer in Christ, and as you walk with Him and walk more closely with Him, one of the things that you want to do is you want to set out to use your words appropriately. Amen. Okay? And then just kind of, I want to get as much out of this as I can in my mind right now, in my thinking, you know. Again, it's not all about crude jokes. Yes, it applies to that. It's not all about profanity. Yes, it applies for that. Maybe sometimes it's like this, like, how do you speak to your husband or your wife? How do you speak to your kids? How do you speak to your friends and family? Do you speak in a way that builds people up in the Lord? Or do you speak in a way that tears them down? Do you speak in a way that when they look at you, they see Jesus? They see Jesus in you? Or do you speak and act in a way where it's like there's no light in what you're saying? All right, so as we leave here today, I hope, because I'm convicted by this, I hope you are too, and I'm seeing how this works, and I see it play, I see examples of it, I see a lot of examples that are around. I hope that you'll be serious with God about this and say, hey, this is an area that I need to grow, I need to keep growing. It might have been tempting for you to think this was about somebody else, like, oh yeah, man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this service, this sermon, because he's a real potty mouth and really wish that he heard this, you know. But think about it for yourself and just how you use your words, how you use our language. Yes, we have free speech and we can say what we want, but everything we have to say is not necessarily good. It's not necessarily beneficial. It's not necessarily building others up. So use your words to build others up. Amen? Amen. All right, are you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
Are you glad you got that encouragement?
Yes.
All right, so we need to go and live that out. Amen? All right, so now as the worship team comes on up, I'd like to just have you all join me in prayer. Dear Father, I first want to confess for myself, Lord, that I do not always use my words appropriately. I wish to, I desire to. I pray that you would help me with that. And if there's anyone else out here that needs to grow in that way, I pray that you would help us to do that. You'd help us to grow through your Spirit, through being indwelt by your Spirit, being filled with your Spirit, Lord, with being exposed to your word and taught by your word and instructed, Lord. Give us the right speech that honors you because we have the right things in our heart, Lord. Lord, if there are things in our heart that need to be dealt with, that need to be taken out and taken away, Lord, I just pray today that you have the freedom. I know you have the power to do it, and I know you can do this anytime you want, but within ourselves, that we surrender it to you, that you have the freedom to do that kind of surgery on us today with your word. That's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. That divides bone and marrow, soul and spirit, Lord, that can get in and do that kind of surgery in our hearts, Lord, and show us and convict us where we've used our speech in a way that is damaging to us and to others, and lead us into repentance. And may we be a people, Lord, who shine for you and are good witnesses for you. Thank you. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.